WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame football from the perspective of the fan. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me is Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer. And we're going to spend about 15 minutes previewing Notre Dame's upcoming game against Penn State. After the Georgia Tech disaster, this is a very critical game in the Charlie Weiss regime. We'll talk about the significance of that a little bit later. But just off the top here, any chance for victory in Happy Valley? Ed, what do you think? The Irish go in, two touchdown underdogs at least. We have any chance at all?
Well, yeah, we have a chance. Of course we have a chance. I mean, it's ridiculous to say we have no chance. We have talented players who are going to play a lot better than they did last week. Penn State.
Why would you think that after the verbal beating you gave Brammer and I the other day about our optimism heading into Georgia Tech? Why would you think that this group of players who's never played before is going to play any better?
I'm the one who's reasonable, and you are the ones who swing wildly from one ridiculous optimism to ridiculous pessimism. Pessimism all the time. Okay.
So I'll give you that.
They will play better. The guys who were on the field are not as bad as they looked. Everything blew up. Okay, now, that said, I can't predict the win.
Right. I would agree with that. Bram, is this a no-lose situation in the sense that, nobody really expects us to win, and if we play better, then people will begin to maybe get off Charlie's back a little bit, and some momentum will be built. So do you think we're in a no-lose situation, or is this a no-win situation?
I would lean more towards no-lose, simply because it doesn't take a whole lot to play better than 33-3 getting pounded last week like we did. So you would expect us to play better. The other thing is, I mean, granted, those two fumbles did occur at probably two of the worst possible times. In the first half, you take those two away, and I'm not saying that we're going to win the game, but maybe the defense isn't on the field as much, and we don't end up wearing them down towards the end of the game like we did. So, I do think that there's a chance that things will go better. I mean, the good news is if we end up losing by seven, people are going to say, "Hey, whoa, wait a minute, Notre Dame's back," even though we lost and we're 0-2 to start. So.
If we win, everyone's going to say Penn State wasn't that good.
Well, 59-0 against Florida International to start, they're obviously decent.
That score means nothing. That score means absolutely nothing. Penn State last year, obviously, the score got ugly on them in South Bend last year. I'm not sure that we dominated that game as big as the score indicated. Penn State kind of played a little bit like we did against Georgia Tech, some key turnovers and they shot themselves in the foot a little bit. And
that's a great point. That's a great point. People need to realize that in football, I mean, it can go that way. And people jump on one snapshot and constantly extrapolate what a team, whether they're good or they're bad or they think or they're a national championship based on each performance. That's ridiculous. Penn State turned out to be a pretty good team last year, and the difference between the two teams was not what it was in that game.
Certainly by the end of the season, by the end of the season, that was definitely true, and I think that should give us hope as Irish fans that this season is definitely salvageable, and a lot of good things can come from this. Obviously, Saturday night is a big step in the reclamation project. But if we play well, even in a loss, and show improvement and show that this team's coming together a little bit, I think that a 7 or 8 win season is still possible. Am I smoking something? What do you think?
Yes.
Okay, boy, there's a shock.
It's possible. I mean, the parity exists. There's no doubt. I mean, ask Michigan. Hopefully that they're singing that tune now. But, I mean, the parity exists in college football. So you can't sit here and say that we don't have any athletes. We're going to get pounded going into Penn State. I mean, I don't see that happening. I don't see us getting blown out at Penn State. I really don't. I'm not saying that they may end up winning by two touchdowns, but we're going to be competitive in the game. I mean, people are probably going to look at the end of the first quarter, and if it's tied or within 3 points, everyone's going to say, "Oh, my God, what's going on?" Well, what's going on is that, Notre Dame is not that bad. We're not horrible, and therefore,
I think it's really key. I think one of the keys to the game is going to be staying in it early, like you're suggesting, Mike. It could snowball on us again if we do some stupid things early. They get some quick scores. We give them field position, any of those things, and it could get ugly. The longer we hang around with them, obviously, the better as this team gets a little confidence. So now, with a young quarterback in a really hostile environment, how do you avoid the early knockout punch? Ed, what do you think? What do we have to do to avoid the early knockout punch?
Well, this is what makes it difficult. To avoid the early knockout punch, you have to slow the game down. You have to make some first downs on the ground, get your running game. You have possession passing. And you know what? Our running game was virtually non-existent, and that puts it on the offensive line. Going into Happy Valley, when you go on the road in a big game like that where the fans are going to be crazy, I think it's on the offensive line. Now then, the skilled people just have to play poised. You can't think that I need to make the breakaway play every time. If you have a chance to get 3.5 or 4 yards, do that. Don't try and bounce it around to the outside because I might break it. Don't reach the ball out to get an extra yard. You got to play tough and slow the game down.
Yeah, and that, along with that, alluding to the point, Mike, that you made in the last show, that Weiss is going to be a lot more comfortable with Jimmy Clausen at the helm than he is with Demetrius Jones, because he's going to run the offense that he knows, and it's going to be a more, I think, methodical and tactful approach by Weiss offensively, what he wants to do, because now he's got the guy that he wants at that position. Granted, it's his first start, 107,000 fans. But, you know, Clausen, if he truly was clearly the winner coming out of spring and going into summer ball, and then all of a sudden he has this surgery, and that literally is the only reason he didn't start, then, hey, I think you got to think that, all right, obviously Weiss was a lot more comfortable with that, and we got to expect that things are going to be better.
Right. Now, a little off topic here on the Clausen injury. You know, rumors persist that the decision to have the surgery was made outside the program, not by Charlie Weiss and the Notre Dame medical staff, but by Clausen's family. Do you think there's anything to those rumors? Do you think that that's what put us in this situation?
Yeah, the rumors were interesting, and I kept thinking that Charlie's the type, you know, I'm calling from the NFL and everything. If the decisions are made, if a guy's going to go under the knife, then you just, you know, you have your press release or whatever, and you say, here's what's happening. And that never happened, and so that gave some credence to the rumor.
Well, he never talks about injuries. He never addresses a kid's injury, and that's as much university policy as anything else in terms of the students.
Well, no, that's true until the family, and maybe that's what drove it. Maybe the family didn't want to talk about it, because if the kid and the family says no, then the school can't. But I guess the other thing, on the flip side, I was thinking to myself, if somebody is saying the kid's got some bone spurs, the kid's got some elbow issues, I mean, here's your incoming freshman who's supposed to be your star. Take care of it now. Just take care of it. And Charlie would be totally on that. Let's do it. Let's take care of it so he's good from here forward. Don't live with a problem
for
a season.
Yeah, the way it was handled, however, whoever made the call and made the decision on the surgery, it seems just a bit odd the way it all came down. But, you know, again, we're dealing with rumors and don't know all the facts. Now, Bram, you were talking earlier about, you know, is this a no-lose situation? Here's a scenario in which I think we do have a lot to lose, and that's on the national perception of the program and particularly as it relates to recruiting. Now, you've read some interesting stuff here recently about our verbal commitments.
Well, yeah, I mean, ESPN, and again, I think this is just the Notre Dame bias that exists in the media, but ESPN's Insider Edition has an article about, well, hey, look, if Notre Dame continues to do this, I mean, they may be number one in recruiting right now, but look what happened to them last year. Justin Tratow defects to Florida. As soon as Florida shows any kind of an interest, Notre Dame's got the number one class, but if they continue to get beat up, you think kids aren't going to jump ship, look out.
That's unbelievable they would write that. That is unbelievable.
How many other programs in the United States would they ever write that about if they were in that situation?
Zero.
If they go
zero,
USC goes 6-5, are they going to start saying, well, look for USC's recruits to jump ship?
No, and in fact, I can recall when Miami was down, just the opposite. People saying, will this affect recruiting and the problems and this could spiral, and then somebody come back and say, yeah, but you're talking about Miami and this is a great program and kids are still going to want to go there. Okay. And look, we've proven that over and over again. How bad was the program in recruiting at the end of Ty, and Charlie immediately turned it and brought it back. And the truth is, we will not be the number one recruiting class. We can't be. It won't happen. All we need to do is be consistently in the top 10 and sometimes in the
top 5. Wait a minute. We're sitting by a wide margin on the number one recruiting class right now, and there's no reason to think that we won't maintain that position.
I'll bet you money right now we won't come out number one.
Okay. All right.
Because
how do you get up every morning? How do you find the will to get up and breathe every morning?
The point he's making is the media is not going to pronounce us number one. No matter what, we'll get dropped.
Well, not only that, there's all these different variations about how you rate kids, but in the end, most of the time, the top recruits, there are academic issues at Notre Dame that a lot of those kids don't want to face. Okay.
Unbelievable. You are unbelievable. We're sitting on the number one recruiting class, and you're bemoaning all the reasons why we can't have the number one recruiting class.
I'm not.
You're unbelievable.
Take a moment and listen to what I said.
What? Oh, okay. I'll try that next time.
You gotta go back and listen to this once we post it. You might understand what I'm saying.
Okay, we'll try that again. All right. So, moving on, big game, obviously, a lot on the line at Penn State in terms of salvaging the rest of the year. And I agree with you guys. I think the key is going to be avoiding the knockout punch early, Clawson getting into a rhythm, and the offensive line establishing the line of scrimmage. You know, we got to have some kind of running game. On the flip side, defensively, you know, what does Penn State, what are they going to bring to the table that scares you the most facing our young defense?
Well, here's their roster, their depth chart. Here's their offensive line. Senior, junior, with a varsity letter, junior, senior. Okay, so they've got an experienced offense that has played together, that has come up. I mean, their backups are senior, junior, senior, sophomore. Their backups are people with experience. These guys know what to do, and they're going to be at home ready to tee off on us for last year.
Bram, you share as concern that the offensive line wearing us down and pounding us with the running game. You think Morelli, their quarterback, presents, and Derek Williams, the star wide receiver, are you worried about getting torched deep in the big play, or are you worried about getting pounded?
No, I think he's right. I think physically, well, you look at them and they're all seniors, and I mean that right there tells you. I mean, these are guys that remember getting pounded by us last year. They're at home in front of their fans. They're poised. You know, they got the experience. And the other side of the ball isn't so bad either. I mean, the linebacker was named a Big Ten Player of the Week. I mean,
yeah, Connor.
Seven tackles, couple for losses, forced fumble. You know, anytime we face a good middle linebacker, that's going to be trouble for us. I mean, you know, we may hold our own a little bit defensively to start, but, you know, if we're in the same situation where we're not moving the ball offensively, our defense spends a lot of time on the field, then come fourth quarter, yeah, they could just roll over us because of their depth.
Okay, well, you know, again, I'm a little more optimistic maybe. I think we are going to play well, and I expect the defense actually to keep us in the game until Clawson gets untracked. But you got to have reason to believe. You got to have hope, and this is what makes my life worth living, Ed, and why yours is such a mess. But you know what? We'll talk more about that privately. Okay, moving on to next week. We got to wrap things up. Moving on to next week, we will have a special guest, Mike Coffey, a.k.a. El Kabong from ND Nation will join us beginning next week as a regular contributor to Dome and Domer. Until then, start hoping for an Irish miracle in Happy Valley, and we'll see you next week with a recap of that game. Until then, I'm Dome, and they're Domer.